legislature, after the student's applications are already in, Board of Secondary Education Committee goes through those loan applications, and they sit, and they wait. They wait until the legislature appropriates some money in the form of appropriations bill. Then there's a time that it can be transmitted to the other house, time that it's accepted, it goes to the governor. The governor takes time to get signed into law, and it can be June, July, before we know that, and there's some transfer problems and funding if the money is due. So the initial reason that Senator Simpson wanted to initiate this bill was one of timing, and the second one of projections. And I think just quickly to recapture where we are with projections. 1978-79, Carrie probably told you before what they've done to the linear progression model, that up until that time, always been consistent and it worked, and there was plenty of money there, involved with the philosophy that all students that are residents in the state of Alaska who went to attend post-secondary school would have that funding available to them. Well, what happened this year, rather than the regular 15% increase in enrollment, they had 23%, so there was a gap that they didn't take into consideration. So they found out that they had to come to you for $650,000 supplemental appropriation. So in 1979 and 80, they decided that they would again be creative, and so instead of staying with the linear progression model, when they switched over, they said, okay, this time we'll take a look at the historical rate of withdrawals. I think probably we could say it became a hysterical rate of withdrawals, and that beyond the control of post-secondary ed, the withdrawals were 5.1%, which was much less than it ever been before, so they have more students staying in school, therefore they will withdraw their account again. And this time it was in the tune of $1.37 million that they had to come through a supplemental appropriation. And then in the 1980-81 year, they went back to taking a look at the high school graduate statistics, and they would have been right on except that the students this year of doing anything like having more or what have you, they each individually requested additional amounts on the loan. So by requesting additional amounts, funding all of them, they found out that they were $3 million short, so they went to the Federal Student Loan Marketing Association. And all deference to the Post-Secondary Education Commission, and particularly to Carrie, I'd like to say that Senator Simpson's office believes that post-secondary ed has been very creative in the way with which they've been trying to take a look at the projections, and it's been items that have been above and beyond the control of their works. And so what he decided is that he would like to see monies be available. And so the first portion of that loan, you'll see that it sets aside $10 million to be placed in that loan, revolving loan fund. And what that allows Carrie and his troops to do over there is to be able to fund these loans without having to run back for emergency supplemental appropriations. That's basically the background, the reason Senator Simpson wanted to see the bill go across. And then several weeks ago, he got wind that $9,000 a week was being spent in interest to pay the Federal Student Loan Association back. So that's the history of why that was passed on to Senate Finance. And I think one thing that speaks for the bill is that it's gone through unanimously where it's gone through, and I think it's a necessary appropriation for kids. And I know that the calls that we get from students who've ended up at school, and I was one of them working on my doctorate, ended up without getting my payment until about November, and I had to keep telling the loan officers at the Arizona State University, don't beat me up, Alaska is solvent, the money will come. This will solve that problem, and I'm really in consideration for that. We move as quickly as possible.
Any questions of the committee?
Okay. Do you think that it would have an effect upon the rate of withdrawals of the student loan fund?
If the money is available there?
Yeah. In other words, you know, reasonable question is whether or not more students withdraw more money more quickly. Whether you increase the number of students and would be the same amount 12 months from now as they are right now.
I'd have to respond to that from my reference data system. I'm sure Carrie's going to want to respond to that also. I think I'm a past principal and teacher and dealing with kids, when they're looking toward going to school, when they apply to post-secondary ed, their decision to apply has nothing to do with knowing the amount of money the secondary commission would have available to them. I don't think students really take a look at that. They're just saying, you know, I really want to go to school. How can I get there? So from the student factor, the parent factor, I don't know if they'll be that much aware. But I think Carrie probably have to respond.
I was going to ask a similar question to Carrie when he gets up. So.
I just don't think the kids are that much aware of it. They know they need money and they go everywhere they can to get it.
Okay. Any other questions? Dr. Rosie? Carrie? Could you give your name again for the tape recorder?
Okay, I'm Kerry Rumsford, Director of the Commission on Post-Secondary Education. Rosie did such a good job on that, there's very little left for me to say. The bill has two parts, and I would talk about the first part first. We have a flow chart that we did pass out that just shows you the loan application process and what we do go through or what the student has to go through, and it looks pretty complicated. It's something that was requested that I prepare and present when I talk about these bills. The application, I'll just run into it very, very quickly. The application is available in January, and that is in concert with the legislative intent 2 years ago. So they'd like to have the applications ready in January. We have them. The little circles, by the way, are actions taken by our office. The triangles are actions taken by institutions, and the squares are by students. So they, the application is available. The student completes it, emails it, or she mails it to the school. The school signs off. We talked about that. They verify that the expenses are indeed fitting or legitimate for that particular institution. And then they send the application back to the student, so the student knows that it has indeed been signed off by the school. The student then gets it and submits it to our office. We send them a postcard immediately upon receipt, so they know at least it's in our office. Then we review the application to see if it's complete or not. If it's not, we have to send it back. If it is complete, we enter everything on the system, and that's when we get the dotted line portion there that Rosie talked about. Then we wait. We wait until the appropriation bill is passed. We wait until it's signed. What can happen is that application can come in as early as February. And we can have it on our system, and then we can wait until July before we get word on it. So it sits for months and months, and the students keep calling, don't even know what's going on. And they get pretty antsy. And in fact, some of them get to the point where by the time the bill is signed and we get this promissory note issued to them in the middle of the summer, they decide that they can't gamble that much of it. Especially if they're going to go to school outside. They can't gamble and go down there hoping they're going to get that money. And some people decide not to go and everything else. It's a real problem. We get the promissory note out to them. The student signs it, sends it back to us. We check it to make sure it's right. If it is, we send in the check. And then the cycle just continues from there. But that's the way it works. The problem that we have run into is in terms of delays. There are delays at the school. There are delays within getting the money. And the $10 million does two things. It cuts down those delays. It allows us to process approximately 50% of the loans we're going to have. We'll be able to have them processed. Students will have the promissory notes issued ahead of time so that when the summer gets here, we won't have that big backlog. And I think it's going to just be, I think this is the best thing that's ever happened to the program aside from funding it every year. The other thing it does for us is it gives us that revolving base. That $10 million will stay in there, and if indeed we miss projections again, which I have no confidence in our projections any longer, if we miss them again, we'll have this base to fall back upon, and we won't have to go, as we did this year, to an outside source, which is the Federal Student Loan Marketing Association, to try to borrow funds. So I am very excited about this base. If you want to know where the $10 million figure came from, $10 million is an arbitrary figure. It came from the Legislative Budget Audit Committee at their recommendation last fall when we went in and got permission to receive the $3 million that we borrowed from the Student Loan Marketing Association. They suggested at that time that we ask for $10 million. So it is an arbitrary figure. I think it's sufficient. I certainly would not want you to change the figure because that would slow down the bill, too. The second part of the bill is $3,570,000, and that is to pay back our loan. And I have a memo in it that I did pass out. We asked for the governor's office to submit supplemental requests to pay back this loan. We sent that to the governor's office in December, and there was there were a number of delays for some reason in just getting the request from the governor's office into the legislature. It is in. It came across last week in the form of Senate Bill, I think 203, maybe 208. But by the time it got across, this bill had already been on the floor and had been to the Finance Committee and had passed because I did point out over on the Senate side that we were spending $9,000 a week in interest while we were waiting for that supplemental to come across and then waiting for action to return. So I'd sure like to get this through, and I'd like to pay that loan off as fast as possible. And we have estimated that if we wait till the end of March, which is by the time it's signed by the governor and everything else, which I can be about that, and we're close to it, it'll be another $135,000 in interest from January to March. That is included in the $3,500,000 figure. And that, I just would encourage and ask that this go for senior consideration. And if you have any questions,
is it $9,000 a week, every week from March 31st to the present?
It's $9,000 from the day we threw the money down, which was in October.
What I'm trying to figure out is the figure, $3,570,127, is only as of March 31st.
That's
if this
right.
bill were to some reason not be passed right away, it's $9,000
right
a week.
I had every right to think when I wrote this, it would be done very early in the session. I thought the supplemental request would come in right away.
When was it filed?
It was filed last week. You may have heard about it on the LaRocca report. He got wind of this when it was on the Senate side, and he started stomping around over the Department of Law and the governor's office to see where it was.
I thank you for that, because the next week he'll come out.
Let me ask Representative Burns' question another way, I guess. Is there any way that you're going to end up spending $10 million next year and not have any of this money revolved? Can that happen?
No, that's not true. I don't think that there's any way in the world that can happen unless the budget for the loan program, which has $19.5 million, unless someone decides, well, giving you 10, we'll only give you 9.5 now. But that's, as long as we get the appropriation we ask for, I don't see there's any way in the world that can happen. We may draw down much as a million or something like that, it would be way off on projection, or even three, this time. No way to do
that. And what's your response to that question about the increase in demand because there's more money there?
I think that there would probably be an increase in demand, not because of this. I think we're going to see an increase in demand simply for project one because of the population increase and the number of students going to school. And I also think we're going to see an increase because the loan limits are going to be raised. It's been in the paper a lot. And I think we're going to see a lot more than that, but that's what this is going to be attached to. I want to point out one thing that happened. We got a couple of things. We already talked about the projections. We had some problems. When the economy's down, I think most people recognize that. When the economy's down, when people are out of work, they go to school. And not only do they go to school, but they stay in school. And we found out schools have a tremendous holding pattern of power now, and there are a lot of people going. The other thing that we found is when the loan program hits the front page, a couple of years ago when we ran out of money, the following spring we always have a tremendous increase in people applying because they see it and they're familiar with the program. It's been in the papers again, and I suspect we're going to continue to see some increase. But I don't think this action is going to really trigger any more than, in fact, this won't trigger as many as raising that loan.
What would the impact of this bill be on the vocational education students?
This bill is going to help the vocational a lot, and that's one of the other things I liked about it, because anytime we run out of money, this is our hedge against running out. Anytime we run out of money, the ones that really get it in the net are the voc ed students, because they're not on that academic year. The academic students get their money up front, and they encumber the entire amount for them when they ask for it. The students that decide they're going to go to the skill center for this, they decide in November if they want to go there, or even worse yet, in February if they want to go there, comes in and applies. If we're out of funds, we have been for the last 3 years, waiting for supplemental or borrowing the funds or something, they can't get their loan until such time as we get additional funds. And many times, we were told, particularly the skill center people in that story, that if you don't get that student, that person that may be on welfare or anything else, that finally they're going to go back and learn a trade, if you don't get them when they're ready, you tell them, we can't help you now, but wait for 6 weeks and come back, they'll come back. And they say, you lose a lot of them. And so they've had some real problems with it. This is going to help that.
Thank
you, Mr. Chairman. The thing on this here, I'm looking at it as a kind of a little test egg, 10 million. And so you always, each year, are going to ask for an appropriation and you have that little test egg there, correct? Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The thing on this here, I'm looking at it as a kind of a little test egg, 10 million. And so you always, each year, are going to ask for an appropriation and you have that little test egg there.
Correct.
Okay. So that means that we're going to have between 20,000 and 30,000 a week interest. The department going to benefit by that, or is going to count that in?
The 10 million will go into the revolving fund, and there are two things you should remember about that. I can't, nobody can, use that money for anything with student loans. That's
just their money.
That fund is secure. It's an account set up only for loans. We can't pull administration money out of there, and in fact, that's why, if you notice in the two parts, the $3 million isn't appropriated to the student loan fund, because I can't pay that loan out there. It comes to us, and it'll become $300 million. We can pay it. That loan fund is secure. We can't pay interest out of it. We can't pay anything. It's not interest-bearing for us, because in this state, interest-bearing accounts, such as the Imperial Labor, so the state, the general fund, benefits from the interest on this. So in other words, the $10 million sits there in the law. Any interest that it makes goes into the state treasury, and indeed, it will be interest. they invest that, they know that amount is there, and they invest it. We don't get the money to play, and we don't get the money. Oh yeah, the state goes in the general fund.
Any other questions?
I don't think so. We don't have to declare our conflicts of interest today, do we?
I think we've declared them on the record in the past. I think that's all that's necessary. For your information, Rosie, we did declare that there were at least a couple of potential conflicts of interest.
I said I have four.
Mr. Chairman, being the only one clear and simple, and clear anyway, being the only one with no conflict of interest, I'd like to move the bill.
Lieutenant Byrne, do you have any objection to moving the bill today? Okay, I will, I think we just run down President Duncan's signature. Without objection, the bill is moved out of the committee. Any other business before the committee? I tentatively announced House Bill 41, we're not ready yet. Right.
Yeah.
Pardon me? Me too. You betcha.
Joint teleconference.
Joint teleconference on the optometry bill Monday. Is it in here or is it in? It is in here, but it's with the Senate Desk Committee as well. Yeah, all asking for more hearings.
Yeah.
I think that, I mean, the bill's out. Right? It's right across the day. So. Okay. I will immediately talk to Sam, Rosie.
Do you want to adjourn the meeting?
Didn't I adjourn it? The meeting is adjourned.
I'd like it. Nice to have you like that.